Focus on restoration is the name of the message today. Focus on restoration. Exodus 21.28 through 22 of 31. We're actually going to possibly do a full chapter today, so don't hold your breath, right? Focus on restoration. Why do we focus on restoration? You know, what is restoration? We think of recreation or recreation. We have a rec center. You know, you go out for a in a recreational vehicle, much like Brent and Molly and Hazel and the new baby on board are all going out and doing. They're recreating. They're recreating, right? Restoration means something that has been broken and needs to be brought back. Look, when you have a challenge with somebody and there's a fractured relationship, do you understand the first thing outside of forgiveness that you need to do in prayer is work towards restoration? And how that is to understand restoration, and I'll try not to get too heavy in this, you really got to look at propitiation. That's what happened on the cross. There's a lot of things that people say with atonement on the cross, and that's part of propitiation. But understand that within propitiation, you have some components in there. You have somebody that has fouled another entity. One entity has fouled another. So there's a crime, right? So that's the first part. There has been something that happened. The second part is there needs to be some form of adjudication that needs to be resolved. Right? And in the justice system, that matter is usually put to bed after the resolve of whatever it is. It could be time in prison plus money. You know, there's all sorts of things that can happen that way. But in the relationship part, then a relationship has to come back together. Where it has to come back together where they're talking again. But watch this. The peace that people will struggle with is right there, but the one that they almost never do is the fourth one. That the relationship is so come back together as if it never happened in the first place. Do you understand this is exactly how we have criminalized the Lord? We have caused problem where there are two parties. There's an offended party and an offending party. And justification had to happen. Adjudication, a justified act, right? And then a relationship has to be restored, but as if it was restored as if it never happened in the first place. That's what happened on the cross. We became an offense to the Lord, right? And he brought us back together as if it never happened. Isn't that cool? Can you get there with a relationship that you're at odds with? It's hard to do. But we're going to see how God, in the book of the covenant here, kind of opens up the Decalogue, the Ten Commandments. My hopes are, your homework from last week was to memorize the Ten Commandments and to continue to do so. So here's a real simple one that we had. Sorry for out of camera shot, guys. We do that periodically. Here's a simple one that we had. This comes from, I can't read the, looks like Dunn, Graham Dunn. So something by Karen. Put God first, right? Praise and worship him only. God keeps, keep God's name holy. Keep the Lord's day special. Obey your parents. Do not harm anyone. Love the one you married. Don't take anything that isn't yours. Tell the truth, and don't be jealous of what others have. In other words, don't be desiring after them. And this number 9 here is more so, don't bear false witness. Don't slander them, right? Memorize. That's an important component. Get those memorized. You know, because the other one that you were to memorize was Psalm 119:11. Lord, I have written your word on my heart that I might not sin against thee. Isn't that easy? I have written your word, say it with me, I have written your word on my heart that I may not sin against you or thee, him. Psalm 119:11. That is the very first scripture you probably should have. It reminds you to continue, as we do here, studying the word, put that word on your heart. From that, be mindful of the Decalogue, the Ten Commandments, right? And then I think we had 1 Timothy 1:8-11, which talked about the law isn't for the righteous, but for lawbreakers. And it goes into the list of what all that is. So that would be your third memory verse. So please be a part of memorization and start memorizing scripture. Have the alphabetic that we gave you guys once before. It's called the gospel alphabet, and it's your memory verses using the 26 letters of the alphabet. And it's all put together here. Also, what's on here is how to memorize the your words, right? The Word of God. But watch this. One of your homework assignments is begin reading the Bible annually, not just this year. And I did it once, annually. And did you know it only takes about a breath over three chapters a day, and you're there annually? It's really that simple. So, yeah, there you go. So what we studied last time around was some four components of law, right? You remember the ceremonial where you had to go do a sacrifice and there was great ceremony to that for your salvation. There was ceremonial law. There was moral law. And we may have one of the slides from last week on that. I don't know. On the media back there, we may have slides. On moral law, that's the one that God has written. Cannot be changed. Moral law cannot be changed. What is the biggest problem that we have in our nation today? Mankind, in a judicial sense, trying to write moral law. And not only W-R-I-T-E, but from their view, small r-I-G-H-T. They're trying to write and write from their view moral law. God has cast moral law. What is moral law? The Decalogue, the Ten Commandments, or as I write them in abbreviated, the Ten C's. Have that written on our hearts. God is in charge of having worship. God is in charge of making sure that we put Him first. Put things in proper placement. And then honor your parents. Don't steal. Don't lie. Don't commit adultery. Don't be hankering for your buddy's goods, right? Don't bear false witness against thy neighbor instead of just lying. You know, we have Ten Commandments here within that. And this Book of the Covenant has 613 total laws. There's some others with that besides. But 613 total laws. Genesis 9, when Noah got off the boat, prior to, he gave them seven laws. Right? God gave us 10. You could stack the entire height and width and breadth of the Empire State Building with the laws that are written in this country. But God gave us 10, and Moses summarized it in 2. Love God, love your neighbor. Love God, love your neighbor. The next one after moral law is judicial law. What that is taking care of the finer parts of moral law. And that's what we're studying in the Book of the Covenant. And then you have the social compact law. That's the unifying law. You have a stoplight, we all have to stop. If we don't stop and we get a ticket, what part does it go to? Judicial law. Does running a stoplight violate moral law? Not necessarily. Moral law is unchanging, but judicial law can change. Now, I know some of you guys, and you can take a picture of these things if you need, if you're writing or however you do. You guys online, just do a screenshot. So if you have a stop sign, you guys, have you ever heard of a California stop where you never come to a full stop? It's the stop line is instead of red, it's kind of orange, you know, and you just kind of roll right on through it. That, and forgive me, our friends in California, but that's what's happened. They evidently, it's a California stop. They don't come to a full stop and go through. Unfortunately, I'm guilty. So violating that law is violating social law. You have yellow dots on a two-lane highway, dashes. Do you know how long a dash is on those things? A lot of people think 3 or 4 feet. If you stop beside them, they're about 8 feet to 10 feet long. A lot of folks don't even know that. One day I looked. I was like, I wonder how long these are. I opened the door. I said, dadgum, these things are long, you know. But if you get across that lane, you're allowed to cross that lane. But if another car is coming, you shouldn't. And the social part comes into play, that social compact, right? So when you're going through the law, as you're walking through your life and you see things, most of the stuff you're going to see is social compact. School zones, hospital zones, a noise violation. Don't turn on your engine brake or your Jake brake as a driver. For you guys heard that. Some cities won't allow that to happen because it's an audio impediment. Over my area, there is a no-fly zone. We own the air rights all the way up, so jets can't fly over unless there's an emergency. So there's a lot of different rights that are involved. So social compact has laws that we're not to break, but there's nobody watching you necessarily to do so. But if you do, then judicial law applies. Judicial is the punitive nature to make corrections. Do you understand the discipline Discipline is not punishment. Discipline is the learning part. If the learning part doesn't come through, punishment, adjudication, comes to the fore. Does that make sense? I had to discipline my kids the other day. What do you mean? Well, I had to whack them on their bottom to get them to do something, or I had to put them in timeout, or whatever you do. No, you had punishment. The discipline did not hold up, so punishment was applied, right? With my grandsons, as they were growing up, and if they didn't do something, you know what they had to do? Push-ups. So if they were told to do something and they didn't complete their task, they had to do push-ups. And I'll not forget, our daughter took them to a karate class, and they wanted to start them off with exercise when they went into the dojo. And he said, drop down and give me 20. They're, and the guy looks over at the mom, and they said, oh, their granddad does that when they're in trouble. So just to let you know, Jordan, my youngest grandson that lives here, I have a younger one down in Texas. Jordan, my youngest in Colorado, he's homeschooling. If he started out, you don't do your homeschool, it's 50 push-ups. You don't do a certain thing. And it could be simply putting your stuff away when you're done. Some of his cousins are here, and they probably can attest to that fact. But one of the things, I don't do it anymore, but when I was younger with them, when the punishment came in, I did it with them. Do you know why? Because I wanted to show them that the Lord came down and he took the punishment for us. Do you understand? Well, why didn't you do the push-ups for them? No, they still need to learn. Just like the disciplines that we get the opportunity to learn. So when you go through, as we go through these parts within Exodus 21 and 22 and beyond, well, I think it'll surmise in 24.7, but we'll see. I haven't got that far yet, and if it doesn't, hey, we'll continue on. But what is breaking down today is you're seeing things about what to do about livestock. Today we would probably say, how's your Ford pickup, your Chevy pickup doing? It talks about how to interact with other people. So it's taking the criminal pieces, the covetousness pieces, and breaking them down into social law and then the judicial part of law to overcome that. Do you understand? So, you know, in my business, I have the ability to have a limited practice within law. So law for me is a very important component. And I love that I have this backdrop to me as a pastor. I love it as a man of faith, is to have that, because there is a penalty, a loss of license, a time in jail that's involved. So if I don't do something that's correct within the law, I can go to jail. Well, there's the punishment piece, because the discipline didn't hold up. Does that make sense? My hope is, listen up, my hope is over these next few weeks that we'll continue to talk about the ceremonial law, yada, 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 these four laws that the media has on board for us here, that you'll start applying some of those and seeing them in your walks of life. And, you know, the one thing that we opened up last week was that the lawmakers and Benjamin Rush, who was the original starter of the school system, they recognized that if you understood these components within the law, that your citizens would be solid citizens, because they understood where law originated. And William Blackstone of England in English law understood that all the other laws, that empire state building full of laws, just in the U.S. alone, all hinge on the shoulders of moral law. And other law writers in the Constitution agreed with that notion, as do I. I still hold true to that. When humans try to break number two, in this case, moral law, when humans try to break moral law, they've ruined everything else. And every one of them, I'll give you a quick scenario. California getting picked on again. But I believe in San Francisco, when a person, a pedestrian, was committing a crime, when they're living in a pedestrian lifestyle and they're committing a crime, they are not held accountable for the crime they commit any longer. The police can't take them. The judge isn't doing anything. So that thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not covenant, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's goods or stuff or any of the above are full on in apply, and it is a zoo in their area now. So I want you to visualize this. We had somebody put rocks. The reason the grass looks so bad, somebody put rocks on the sprinkler system. All right? If they kill the grass, that's $5,000 to replace it. to tear it out, put stuff new in. That law, that violation alone is 1 year in jail and up to $300,000 fine. Isn't that amazing? Just putting rocks on the sprinkler heads. Somebody did that last week. Isn't that crazy? Now, you take that away, people can do whatever they want. They can come in and break windows. They steal stuff out of here, and the law's going to do nothing. Do you understand when people start trying to rewrite moral law, the immediate application that happens within a culture? And we saw lastly that John Adams said, the law is really meant for a whole person. The law is really for a moral country. And his origins, as we saw, was in 1 Timothy 1, 8 through 10. And you guys can go back and read and memorize that. All right. Father, thank you for your word today. Thank you for the insight that you're going to give. Lord, we ask, for your hand and your guidance and your wisdom on next steps in this word. Let us see your components of law, Lord, and let us attribute this to you in such a fashion that it breaks our heart to even consider stepping away from you in any form or fashion. We pray this in your name. Everybody said, amen. In 21 and 8, if an ox gores a man or a woman to death, then the ox shall surely be stoned. So we're not talking little rocks here. We're talking whatever they can put in their hands. And if somebody said, you just killed that woman, your ox killed that woman, that ox is dead. Do you understand? Oxygon, right? He surely shall be stoned, and his flesh shall not be eaten, because at that point it would be unclean. And the owner of the ox shall be acquitted. It wasn't his fault. The ox has a mind of its own, and if it's operating in a sense it's going to hurt someone, then that's the case. I remember when we were in San Antonio earlier in the year, we went to a wedding, and there was a couple of two or three longhorn cows sitting in the field next to us. Right, and we had this wedding. It was an open chapel, meaning there were no sides on the walls. There was just the top and the front and rear, but the sides were open, and there were stools that you sat on or benches that you sat on. It was a cute little open scenario for a wedding. Then you walked up a hill, and that's where all the food and dancing and all that happened. But between the two, there was these good-looking longhorns that was part of this ranch, and one of the guys went over. And he started looking at the longhorn. He's getting a picture. And, well, that longhorn reached out and slung his head around. And it got caught on a fence post. Had it not got caught on a fence post, he would have gored this man. Right? And if that man would, I'm going to tell you right now, those things are huge. They're as long as my arm span. They are very, very long. And they're very, very strong. And if you've ever been around cattle, you see those guys. Bull, you know, they're taking they'll jump off their horse, and they just got a little calf, and they'll take it and flip it on its side and rope its legs, you know, and then go like that when they're done. Team roping, whatever they're doing. That's a baby. Those things are strong. You get a full-size cow, I'll tell you what, their neck's that big around, and they got the muscles to prove it. You guys have eaten some of them. All right, so he'll be acquitted. But if the ox tended to thrust with its horn in times past, and it has been known by his owner, he has not kept it confined, so that it has killed a man or a woman, the ox will be stoned, and the dude that owned that ox will be put to death. You had a cow, you had a bull, and you knew that it was doing this, but you let it run anyway, dead. In the story in San Antonio, same kind of thing would have happened. You know, if he would have speared, and they knew that that ox was done, it would be put to death. You may think of that with a dog. I had a neighbor across the street many years ago. Their dog went through, and he bit a kid, and they had to put the dog to death immediately. It was just painful. It was a police dog, and he was protecting his own. It was a policeman that owned it. The dog wasn't militant. The kid, I knew the kid, he would exasperate that dog. But he got a little hole put in him, and the dog got put to death because it was his fault. He was part of that, and nothing happened other than the dog died, and the hearts were broken, et cetera, et cetera. By the way, I agree with that law. If a dog bites, he's done. He's done. If he bites again, I don't know that the person should be put to death, but that dog needs to be gone. Okay? Where am I here? Oh, here we are. I jumped up. if there is imposed him a sum of money, then they shall pay to redeem his life. Hang on a second. Oh, excuse me. But if the ox tended to thrust a horn times past and he has been made known his owner, he has not kept it confined so that it will kill a man or a woman, the ox shall be stoned and the owner shall be put to death. If there is an imposed on him a sum of money, he shall pay to redeem his life. Okay, instead of putting to death, they say, instead of putting to death, you need to pay $10,000 to such and so, or $50,000 to such and so. You're kept alive. Whatever is imposed on him. He didn't have a choice. They take him before the judges. And you would see that the seat of the judges is outside the town. That's where all the people would gather, and they would talk about the law, and they would judge and make things acquitted or they're going forward. Whether it has gored a son or gored a daughter, according to the judgment, it shall be done to him. If an ox gores a male or a female servant, he shall be given their master 30 shekels of silver, and the ox will be stoned. So if he kills one of those indentured servants that we talked about 3 or 4 weeks ago, then you got to pay the money. And that 30 shekels of silver is about 12 ounces of gold. I mean, 12 ounces of silver. 12 ounces of silver is trading at about $15 and I looked 47 cents. So 15.50, you know. So you're talking that each servant that gets killed is worth about $200 in today money. Do you understand? So that's how that piece goes down. If a man opens a pit or if it digs a pit and doesn't cover it, and an ox or a donkey falls in it, the owner of the pit shall make it good. He shall give money to the owner, but the dead animal shall be his. So if you cut open a pit for whatever reason, maybe you were trying to create a cistern of some sort, a water, an open cistern, and you opened it up so water could be held, a pond or whatever you're digging a ditch for, and an ox or a goat falls in and it dies, then you got to pay. And I'll tell you, with an ox or a cow today, a beef is trading at $3.70 a pound. You wonder why your prices are, you know, $7 or $12 a pound, you know, processed and whatnot? Well, it's trading at $3.70 a pound. If the average bull weighs around 2,000 pounds, you're looking at $9,000. If a female that weighs in around 1,600, she's going to be worth about $6,000. You drop a couple of those in there, do you understand that it's going to cost you about $18,000? That's pretty crazy. You want to be careful about your ditch. You know, when we dug this ditch for the electric line, we had to put up yellow markers all the way around it, you know, just to make sure people were aware. And I said, put up 3 rows of them. When we put the grass in, we put 3 rows of markers around so that people wouldn't mess with it and damage their grass or ride their bicycles on it. He shall give him money and the owner, but the dead animal shall be his, right? So the guy, he sits there and pays the money and he gets a cow and he has a barbecue, whatever it's going to be. If one man's ox hurts another's so that it dies, then they shall sell the live ox and divide the money from it. So if I got an ox and I'm going over to Bill's house and my ox kills Bill's ox, the dead ox sticks with the guy, and the live ox we got to sell, and we split the proceeds, right? And the dead ox shall also, and the dead ox shall also be divided. So my ox kills Bill's ox, we divide my ox, and we divide Bill's ox. So we're going to have food. Each one of us is going to have a barbecue, and Bill's going to get the proceeds, and I lost an ox, right? So he's off my plate. Or if that was known that the ox had tended to thrust in times past, the owner has not kept it confined, he shall surely pay for ox for ox, and the dead animal will be his own. So he has to give a full ox over. If my ox kills Bill's ox, and he's done it before, and he kills another one or somebody else, then I got to give my ox over, and it's done, and the dead one becomes mine. So basically, you have an ox for an ox. You understand, you got a killing ox, that could cost you some serious bucks, especially in today's times and today's monies, right? There's a lot of laws that are written here. The laws are written for a very specific reason, to keep people within confines. We opened up that last week about when Adam and his wife had kids, they had familial laws. But when the kids grew up and they started creating society, you had to have social laws, right, to kind of develop and tend to people, because the more people that are there, the more things that need to be covered, right? All right. The next one is thievery. We're into Exodus 22 and 1. Thievery. Thou shalt not steal. That is the law number 8. Thou shalt not steal. Remember, you want to not only have them on your head, you want to know what number they are. Memorize them front, and when you're done, memorize them backwards. And say, law number 1, you'll have no gods before me. Law number 5, honor your mother and father. Law number 8, don't steal. Law number 10, don't covet your buddy's stuff. That's the one that we violate the most, big time covet. 22 and 1, if a man steals an ox or a sheep and slaughters it or sells it, he shall restore 5 oxen for an ox, 4 for a sheep. And if the thief is found breaking in and he, let me come back to that. So if he steals all of that stuff, do you understand if just 5 oxen and 4 sheep alone would cost him $46,000 today? That's how much that is. You stole an ox and you stole a sheep. Now you got to pay 5 oxen, 4 sheep, or whatever that is. That amount, based on today's numbers, is coming in at $46,200. You know, sheep are trading $300 per sheep on average. $247 to $347 is the number more specifically. But you don't want to be messing around taking and stealing, folks. Listen. Folks, when you're stealing, you take a paperclip from your office, you take a paperclip that doesn't belong to you, you have violated number 8. You understand? You've violated number 8. You take a pen or a sticky note that does not belong to you. If they give them to you, that's a whole other deal. But if they haven't been given to you, no. We've had stuff donated here. Is this by legal means? I've never broken. I ask everybody the same question. That way I don't have to go, oh, yeah, well, he wouldn't, but he would. And did this come to us by legal means? Yes, it did. Awesome. Awesome. Here we go. If a thief is found breaking in and he is struck that he dies, there shall be no guilt for his bloodshed. Today we would know that as the castle law, just like castle. Anything that's inside your castle, you have the ability to defend. Right? So somebody breaks into my house or onto my land, I have the ability to defend my castle, and that's all that's within it. Right? They will define that so much not as land, but more so specific dwelling place. And that's sad piece, because land is land and property rights are property rights. So if he dies while he's doing it at night, there is no bloodshed. Why would that have a concern? Well, it's considered that by the daytime, you could have got a buddy and helped restrain him. You know, it's considered that they could have cut through your tent or dug through your stone side, or in our day, broke through a window and a door, and it's at nighttime, you know. So they made a distinguishment of night and day. During the day, you probably could have got somebody in to help you, and here you go. If the sun has risen on him, there shall be guilt for his bloodshed. He should make full restitution. If he has nothing, then he'll be sold for his theft. So you kill him during the day, you're going to have to pay restitution or whatever the price is for that. And they didn't get too far into it. The judge will determine it. But if the thief has been found with the goods and he's got to return them, if he can't, then he has to pay. And if he can't, then he gets to be sold. And whatever you can sell your thief for, that will be end of story. Wasn't that amazing? Today, what do? We put him in jail after a long process. But the process has happened. The judges have determined he was a thief. Now you go sell this guy. And you get your money back and it's done. What do you think of that law? Crazy, huh? I like it. Boy, you stuck for me. You start selling your kids off. You know, no. Careful with that. Careful with that. If the theft is certainly found alive in his hand, whether it's an ox, donkey, or sheep, he will restore double. So you got an ox in your hand, dude. You got my ox in your hand. No, we don't. Dropping the rope, right? No, we saw it in your hand, and there were 2 or 3 other witnesses here. You have an ox. You not only owe me $9,000 for that one, you got to go buy me another one. Ox for ox, right? You got a double. Well, you got the $9,000 in your hand, but you got to go buy another one. So he's out $9,000, right? crazy. You know, I'm sure that when the law is put forth and people have it, my law, your law, Lord, is written on my heart that I may not sin against thee. Well, Dave, what about these laws? These are the ancient laws given to Israel outside of Egypt. You know, Jesus came and now we're under grace. Jesus, there's nothing about stealing oxes in the New Testament. He didn't overwrite this. These are carried through. This stuff's carried through. We still, now the penalty is a judicial. Remember, moral law doesn't change, but judicial law does. Moral law is immutable. Judicial law is mutable, means that it can change. These laws that can change in the Book of the Covenant, but we never change the moral law. It is never changed. In 5, if a man causes a field or vineyard to be grazed and lets loose his animals and it feeds on another man's field, he shall make restitution from the best of his own field and the best of his own vineyard. So what we're dealing with here now is grazing rights within land law. Land law is a social compact. Grazing rights are a social compact. Violation of such is now adjudicated. Right? So it falls under judicial law, which is written out, and if it's broken, obviously it's adjudicated. What happens is when your animal goes into their yard and starts eating their grapes, I get not just grapes for grapes, I get your best grapes to replace my grapes. Do you understand? It's a whole different way of going after this thing. So you get the best of this guy who was criminalizing or being criminalized, which you are the one that received that. So, again, if a man causes a field or vineyard to be grazed and lets his animals loose and lets a feeds in another man's field, he shall make restitution in the best of his own and in the best of his own field and the best of his own vineyard. If a fire breaks out, now we're dealing with fire within law, land law. If fire breaks out and catches in thorns, so the stacked grain, standing grain, or the field is consumed, he who kindled the fire shall surely make restitution. Do you understand? So if you cause a fire, I think you need to kind of get this picture. So stick with me for just a minute. If you start a fire, do you understand that fire travels about 14 miles per hour? So I want you to drive 14 miles in 1 hour and make note of the land. So you're driving 14 miles, and you look back to where your starting point is to where your end point is, and that's just a linear thing. But if you figure it's going to go 14 miles in all directions in an hour, you're talking about 196 square miles. Do you understand? And that's just in 1 hour, 2 hours, you know. You're at, what, 386 or whatever it is. You guys do the math. The thing is this, fire travels. We see these prairie fires. In the forest, it travels about 7 miles an hour, 6.8 to be exact, and on forested land. But still, in an hour, that's a lot of land. We in Colorado deal with fires every dry season. You know, natural lightning, it's a great thing from that view. Tell that to the people's houses that are burnt down. A guy's field burns down in this era, this agrarian area. He's got seed. He's got everything to make his bread or to sell his goods or his vineyards. Whatever they have that burnt down is gone. And oh, by the way, everything that fire gets to is consumed. Your animals, your livestock, human beings, and everything that's on the ground that can burn will burn. Anything that's consumable will burn up. So you have no more goat milk, you have no more cow milk, you're going to have some beef jerky, you're going to have some dry jerky there because of the heat. Even unto human life, hay and humans burn. Do you understand why that fire thing matters so much? We don't see it. We feel the results in a respiratory effect, or we may see it on TV or at a distance when we see the billows of smoke coming off the Rocky Mountains when there's a fire up there. But if you're on the front lines and a prairie fire happens, you guys, I don't know if you've ever seen them burn ditches, but those ditches burn pretty darn quick. And if you have a field, you see these golden fields of grain, and it hasn't rained for a month, and those fields are golden, and lightning strikes that, you're talking 14 miles an hour. That's a lot of land in an hour. That's a lot of product that's lost. So he shall make restitution from the best of his own field. And that's on the other one. He who kindled the fire shall surely make restitution. And then obviously there's proof that has to come in. You know? This is an important piece. If a man delivers to his neighbor monies or articles to keep in verse 7 of 22 and is stolen out of the man's house, if the thief is found, he shall pay double. So you don't understand, when I give something to somebody, they are to what for me? That. Keep it. You guys have heard a billion times here, the keep is the safest part of the castle where all the goods and finery is held. Right? Food, finery, and feebleness is all held there. It's the last thing guarded. So when somebody gives you something to keep, it has to be kept. And somebody steals that, I gave you $1,000 to keep for me, you kept $1,000, but if a thief comes in, that thief owes $2,000. Well, what about the guy that was there? Well, if they suspect him, they also take him before the judges. And if he's found guilty, the same applies. If the thief is found, not found, the master of the house shall be brought to the judges to see whether he has put his hand in his neighbor's goods. Okay? So that's keeping something for somebody in the theft realm. Now we're talking about land law, which has property rights involved, right? If any kind of trespass, whether it concerns an ox, donkey, or sheep, or clothing, or any kind of lost thing which another claims to be his, the cause of both parties shall come before the judges, and whomever the judges condemn shall pay double to his neighbor. Clear? If a man delivers to his neighbor a donkey, an ox, a sheep, an animal to keep, and it dies, is hurt, or driven away, no one seeing it, then an oath of the Lord shall be between them both, that he has not put his hand into his neighbor's goods. In other words, had nothing to do with it. And the owner shall accept that, and he shall not make it good. And he shall not make it good. But if, in fact, it is stolen from him, and he shall make restitution to the owner of it. But if it's torn to pieces by a beast, and we're still talking about the animals, then he shall bring it as evidence, and they shall make good what was torn. So if a cow got taken out, you replace the cow. Real simple. And if a man borrows anything from his neighbor, and it becomes injured or dies, the owner of it not being with it, he shall surely make good. If I loan my ox to you to help you pull a tree stump out, and the ox dies on your watch, you owe me an ox. But if I'm there with you, you don't owe me a thing, because I was complicit with that. If the owner was with it, he shall not make it good. If it was hired, if it came for its hire. So when you have this stuff going on, they won't allow you to eat the dead animal if it was torn in the flesh. If it died in the field, you can't take it up, chop it up, and eat it. Why? Because you have natural law that applies. You don't know what kind of disease or buzzard came over, and it hasn't been properly cleaned, and its entrails taken out. They're not going to allow them to eat it at that point either. Well, what is the overarching theme here? To keep things in order. And give more than what's required. If you screwed up, you don't just pay a little, you pay a lot. I had a person that I was working with that was not happy with my return of communication, though their phone was blocking my getting through to them. And when I saw this person, they were blood red mad. You know what that means? Their face was flushed. They were so upset. And said that I was not trying to call them back, yada, yada, yada. And I said, you know, you're getting good. They said to me, you're getting good money for doing what you do. And we even brought the parties together, which is normative for his business. And I was like, you know what? I was shaking. I was just shaking. I was so upset. Why? Because my actions caused that person to be so upset that they just were furious. And I told that person, I said, look, I'll give you $1,000. Let's make this go away right now. $1,000 for two phone calls? Yeah. Why? Because that person was so furious. Now, if you get mad at me on the phone, I'm not paying you a grand. Let's get that real clear. But in this situation, they did. And it says, no, you know what? No, don't do that. Instead, do this. Pay this bill for me, which was half of what I've offered. What I saw happen was that person go blood red to paled face. Why? Because he saw somebody was representing the Lord. Even though from his view the work was done, we always say we'll get back with you in 24 hours, not 10 minutes. They were so upset now. They were seeing a righteous man operating righteousness and giving beyond what others would have done. Many would have just said, well, I'm sorry about that. I'll take you to dinner or something along those lines. No, we're gonna put this out. We're not just going to put it out. We're not going to put out an ember. We're bringing in a plane full of water to knock out an ember instead of a full-blown fire, you see. Well, I'm not telling you this story to make me look good or anything. I'm telling you this story to show you what it's like in practicality. What happens when you go beyond taking care and satisfying an individual, it diffuses the argument. And it lessens the degree of pain and suffering that they're carrying for whatever reason. And it also brings credence back to the Lord from you. See, my sinful body could allow that to not happen and just go, well, you know, tough luck. This is our policy. This is how it is. One other time, we were selling a house on 96 Way, and I had a fireplace that didn't work. And I put it in when we sold it. They have this thing called a disclosure. You got to say whatever you know to be right and wrong. And I disclosed that it wasn't working right. You know, we never messed with it. I saw it as a waste of money to begin with, but we bought it because it was kind of cool looking. It was part of the home. And we disclosed that it was not going to work, and they said, okay, that's fine. Well, Mary looks at me afterwards and says, we got to fix that fireplace. I said, we've already agreed that they're going to take it as is. We're Christians. We've got to leave this better than what we've had. Do you understand the moral code? Do you understand what tracks with the Lord? Do you understand that it's painful to write that check? It's painful to break an agreement and give something better to somebody than what they agreed to or deserve. But do you understand that you live a deep sleep life in this regard? Do you understand that it's a beautiful reflection of the Lord in our practical days and lives? Maybe you messed somebody over at your work and you goofed off for an hour on social media. You know, you could be at work now watching this message. Save it for later. You can replay it. Then you owe that company time. Well, I used 23 minutes here, so I'm going to give them 23 back. No, you should probably give them 40 or 50 minutes back. Even if they say that you're not a good person later on, you know who your covenant is. We work as unto the Lord. Yeah. That's the intent of this thing. That's what we're seeing here. Not only make things equitable, take them beyond that equity. Give them a greater equity position than they have in that. We're not just trading a cow for a cow. Here's your cow, and here's another cow. Now, if that person doesn't deal with the forgiveness element and the thing is restored where they're talking again, remember the fourth part of propitiation? That's on them, not you. You've done your part. And maybe you gave them a cow and said, hey, here's the cow because it died in my field. You matter so much, I'm going to give you 10 sheep as well. Do you see? Do you understand how that works? There's so many things that are just not worth fretting over, and that God handles this adjudication in an amazing way. You know, this day and age, your handshake and your signature has to mean something, even in this day and age, because it means something unto the Lord. Your yes has to be your yes, and your no has to be your no. Your yes cannot be your no. If you're a forgetful nature, get a tablet and write it down and get it done. But if you're not, your yes is your yes. Bottom line, you give your word, you need to stick to it. And that's just all there is said about that. It's a life lesson. It's how a man or a woman of Christ acts. If your yes is your no, I would challenge your reflection of him. At minimum, I would challenge that. All right. Moral, and we're down in 16 now at this point. If a man entices a virgin who is not betrothed and lies with her, he shall surely pay the bride price for her to be his wife. That's a dowry, right? If her father utterly refuses to give her to him, he shall pay money according to the bride price for virgins. I don't know what that bride price is. But even if the father says, nope, you did that, she's staying with us, the perp still needs to pay the price. To me, this is really weird. I'm like, why are you enticing someone to sleep with you? I mean, yes, it may not be adulterous in the fact that that person's married, but they are married unto the Lord until they've been given over to you. So there seems to be something there that's really peculiar. So they pay the price. Sorceresses, they're not allowed to live, period. Whoever you shall not permit a sorceress to live. Can you pull up scripture on that Leviticus 19:31? We're going to go through a series of these pretty quickly. Give no regard to mediums and familiar spirits. Do not seek after them to be defiled by them. I am the Lord your God. Next, please. And to the person who, and this is Leviticus 20.6. And to the person who turns to mediums and familiar spirits to prostitute themselves with them. Did you catch that term? I will set my face against that person and cut him off from his people. You guys start getting in there and seeking mediums and tarot cards and checking your astrology? No. Astronomy is a whole different deal. That's how they plotted the seas. Astrology? No. Leviticus 20:27. A man or a woman who is a medium or who has familiar spirits shall surely be put to death. They shall stone them with stones, and their blood shall be upon themselves. Next one, please. Okay, and this here is in Samuel. Now Samuel had died, and the Israel lamented for him and buried him in Ramah. So Samuel the prophet, right, the last prophet before the king Saul, he died in his own city. And Saul had put the mediums and the spiritists out of the land. Then the Philistines gathered together and came and encamped at the Shunem. And so Saul gathered all of Israel together, and they camped at Gilboa. When Saul saw that the army of the Philistines, he was afraid, and his heart trembled greatly. And when Saul inquired of the Lord did not answer him, either by dreams or by Urim, by the prophets. That's it? Okay. Then Saul said to his servants, find me a man or a woman who is a medium, that I may go to her and inquire of her and his servants, and said to them, in fact, there is a woman who's a medium at Endor. So Saul disguised himself and put on other clothes, and he went, and two men with him. And they came to the woman by night, and he said, please conduct a seance for me and bring up for me the one I shall name to you. Then the woman said to him, look, you know what Saul has done, and he has cut off the mediums and the spirits from the land. Why then do you lay a snare for my life to cause me to die? And Saul swore to her by the Lord, saying, as the Lord lives, no punishment shall come upon you for this thing. Hold right there. You see what's happened? He called on the Lord. Where are you? How come you haven't come to me yet? All right, I'm going to handle this my own way. You're not supposed to have spiritists. You're not supposed to have mediums. They're to be put to death. Well, Dave, that's just not nice. Well, it's the word. So the thing is this, that he said, not only is that not going to happen, you're not going to be hurt by it, but he brought two other people in with it, and he dressed up to not look like Saul. He didn't come in boldness. He came in weakness. He came in as a sissy. Can I get that last one, Jeremiah, please? And it says, therefore, do not listen to your prophets, your diviners, your dreamers, your soothsayers, or your sorcerers, who speak to you, saying, you shall not serve the king of Babylon, for they prophesy and lie to you to remove you far from your land, and I will drive you out, and you will perish. The Lord's real clear on this stuff. He doesn't want us going on in and messing around with others in this way. Are we clear? I don't even think I should have to cover this next one, but I'm going to. Bestiality. Whoever lies with an animal shall surely be put to death. Can I get Leviticus 18, please? 18.23. Nor shall you mate with any animal to defile yourself with it. Nor shall any woman stand before an animal and mate with it. It is perversion, and we'll leave it at that. Why did they have to tell them that? I don't know. But you know what? The heart is desperately wicked. Who can trust it? Who can know it? It's not to be done. Well, Dave, wait a minute. Why are you so harsh about that? Well, you know what? Man is trying to rewrite moral law right now. You understand? They're trying to redefine the garden marriage. They're trying to redefine all these different deals. When marijuana became an issue in Colorado multiple years ago, I was not a proponent of it. I did it illegally. I know the damage that it does. I know that there's some good elements to it. But we're talking about the intoxicating side. And I said, you watch what's going to happen. They're going to want to put marijuana on, and right behind it, they're going to put cocaine on deck. And guess what? They tried to lift a bill to make cocaine legal in Colorado. Do you understand that that's just a matter of time, a generation away of next? Do you understand that pedophilia is now being claimed as a normative action? If it's okay by the kid, then it's okay by the adult. That's what's happening right now. Kids' rights. What kind of stupid is that? And if you're a pedophile, you're an idiot. You're foolish and you're stupid. The damage that happens to those children carries well into the entirety of their life. And I mean the entirety of their life. It's an improper thing that happens. And it's out of order. And we have people trying to create moral law here. Children are be protected. These laws about life being taken by an ox or a human, God sees life as precious. And you got to go to Scripture. Lest any of you trip one of these young ones, a millstone be put around your neck and you be cast into the ocean. That would be like in the gangster days, they would dip their feet in cement and call it cement boots and throw them off into the river where they would drown and stay drowned. Do you understand? You bring defiling to one of these kids, the Lord has some serious business to you about it. You do understand that in prison, if a pedophile gets thrown into prison, they have to set them apart. Do you know why? Because many of the guys in there were abused by somebody their elder. And that pedophile that goes in there, they get throttled, and that's an understatement. I'd like to say more, but I'm trying to manage my words a bit better. This idea of everything goes if it's right by you. If somebody wants to marry their donkey, they're a fool. That's just what it is. Hey, we got a guy that wants to marry his computer. We had a movie come out about it 5 years ago, where he fell in love with his computer and wanted to marry it. We think that's crazy. In Japan right now, the rate of humans coming together because of the distraction of electronic media is such that people now are better off in their view of being with a robot. That's why they're leading the robotics. They have a robot right now that could be sitting right here in the front row, and more than likely you would not be able to tell that it was non-human. That's how close it is. You tell me that's not worshiping something else? You tell me that's not a direct violation of worshiping other gods, which is self-motivation? This thing left unchecked outside of moral law gets stupid quick. And people that don't have the law of the Lord written on their heart, that they may not sin against him. We clear? We're only supposed to sacrifice to him. See, we'll put our wisdom, what we think is wisdom, against God. Well, God's wise sovereignty versus our carnal stupidity. That's what that boils down to. In a nutshell, whoever sacrifices to any god, in 20, except to the Lord, only he shall utterly be destroyed. You shall never neither mistreat a stranger nor oppress him. You were strangers in the land of Israel. Just because somebody comes your way, that's why the hospitality piece, some are given to hospitality. That's opening your home to a stranger as they're traveling and then sending them forward. We would say buying them a dinner or filling their gas tank, which are components of that. But in this Middle East culture, it's more than that. A stranger, even upon disagreement, you still take care of them as if they're in your family. But they don't want you to take them and turn them into a slave like what happened to you. That's what they're saying here. They're saying, take care of those folks. You shall not afflict any widow or fatherless child. If you afflict them in any way and they cry at all to me, I will surely hear their cry, and my wrath will become hot, and I will kill you with the sword, and your wives shall be widows and your children fatherless. You'll go to war. You'll go to war. That's how much he cares about the innocent. So when you look at this other thing about pedophilia and you put it in juxtapose and reflection on this, you can understand exactly what God's heart is about these matters. And guess what? If you are Christians, if you are reflectors of him, you too then have to reflect this nature. If you lend money to any people who are poor among you, you shall not be like the money lender to him. You shall not charge him interest. This is the deal. We're going, oh, I want 5% interest on this thing. No. See, there's a component you may not even be considering right now. You're looking at 5% interest, but God may be trying to bless you with 10, 20, 30% of increase in your business because you're loaning to somebody that's poor. Have you ever thought about that? You loan to them, they give you back what's owed. Pretty straightforward. And I just think of the times that we have been blessed when we've helped people, given them cars and stuff like that along the way. We've been blessed beyond measure. And we're not talking $50,000 cars here. You know, we're talking $2,000, $3,000, $4,000 along the way. If you take a neighbor's garment as a pledge, you shall return it to him, for the sun goes down before the sun goes down. For that is the only covering. It is his garment for his skin. What he will sleep in. What's he going to sleep in? And it will be that when he cries to me, I will hear, for I am gracious. My thought was, why are you taking the buddy's coat if you need it that bad? But who knows? Whatever you take goes back to them. We borrowed some chairs for 4th of July from our neighbors so that our kids could sit when we went out and looked at the fireworks, and it bothered me to no end. I didn't turn them back that day, and I forgot the next day, and I turned them back the 2 days later. You know, so it was the day that I borrowed them, I should have turned them back. The next day I forgot that was the second day later after that. And it bothered me that I didn't get it. I got to get these back to these people. Now you see why. It falls itself in. Do you see how when the law is written on your heart, your motives will look differently? Do you understand this concept thus far? For what's going to cover him when he sleeps? You shall not revile God nor curse a ruler of your people. I know that when we're in Romans and we're in Colossians and other words in Scripture, I always get the eye roll when somebody is not happy with the ruler of this nation or the president or the mayor or the school board or whatever. Don't curse them. Don't curse God. Don't revile in that way. And then lastly, you shall not delay to offer the first of your ripe produce or your juices. The firstborns of your sons shall give to me. Likewise, you shall do with your own oxen and your sheep. It shall be with its mother 7 days. The eighth day you'll give it to me. And you shall be holy men to me. And you shall not eat meat from torn beasts in the field. You shall throw it to the dogs. And that was that part about the whole decay piece and not having the entrails taken out at the proper time and bloodlet. The deal is this. If you're holding on to a giving or a tithe, you're thinking about it too long. You're not going to give it with a righteous heart that God had intended for you to give. Do you understand? So if you sit there and you run into a sum of money, maybe you came into $100,000, and you didn't ask God what part he wanted you to give out, and then you kept that extra, Ananias and Sapphira, all I got to say. And then the other part, you're not getting the benefit of the Malachi 3:8 blessing. Why do you rob God? In the tithes to storehouse and the temples. Well, lest I pour out a blessing that your own grain bins can't hold. Don't hold back your offerings unto the Lord. Clear? We'll break that open a little bit more next week when we come back to it. The summary is simple, and it's quite simple, is that we don't live low. We live high in regard. We don't just make things all right. We make them better. When we go up against somebody and we have wronged them, we don't just wrong them even for even. You bless them beyond measure. When the son came back, the prodigal, that took everything from his dad, and his dad was looking afar off, all he could think about was, where's my son? Or he wouldn't have been looking at it for him. And he put a signet ring, which is a credit card, on his wrist. He put shoes, which he had none, on his feet. And he put a robe around him to cover him in the Father or the King's righteousness, to show everybody it's about him. What does that have to do with this? Everything. Because it's the same kind of deal. We are showering people with God's riches and treasures, not our own, because not one of them belonged to us. Sad for the man who says they're a Christian, or a woman that says that they're a Christian, and when somebody else comes to them because of their acts or their actions or their words, and they say, what, you're a Christian? Really, you're a Christian? Is this what it's like? It's one thing if they tell you that manipulatively, but it's a whole other thing if they tell you that because of your act cause, and you don't have the law written on your heart that you may not sin against him, thus others. It's a hard thing for folks to hear. Read your Bible annually, memorize Scripture, and speak Scripture daily. Amen? Father, Father, we thank you for this lesson in understanding. And Lord, for this last song. Lord, as we come before you in communion and just commune with you, Father, let whatever in our heart that has not been to you, let us just yearn for you, Lord, in that regard. Because it's not where you would have us be. N7 is a go, and we'll see you then. God bless you guys. Go ahead and mute this.